But we're going to worship the Lord today and just give God thanks as we begin our service. Stand or sit, however you're comfortable, to worship the Lord. Together in your name. God, we're thankful that you are in this place, and we worship you today, God. We thank you for your spirit, your presence. And Father, we're thanking you for the joy that can be in the house of the Lord today, God. And we just praise you, Father, with an open heart, with an open mind, willing and ready to hear from you, God, and to sense your presence and to receive your joy and your praise today. God, and to lift us up in the house of the Lord today. Thank you, God, for this opportunity. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Well, I'm grateful. I didn't think too much about it, and the day might have passed and just went on about normal business, but Wednesday morning, my lovely wife decided to leave me a little card, not thinking too much, and for whatever reason, I passed 41 years of licensing in the Church of God in Michigan. So, I guess that's a milestone. I didn't think about it too much, but wow. July 11th, 1983, the church at that time for me was different. You know, 41 years ago, the church was, Clayton Williams was the guy who signed my license, Jim Fair, some of you know, Herb Streeter, and a multitude of names that were very influential in my life at that time were part of the ordination committee. And a couple of years later, I went on for ordination. But wow, I happen to think 41 years, and my wife had to remind me, you've been licensed more than you are, more than half of your years old. And I'm thinking, wow, did you just really have to throw that in there? But I'm grateful for what God's done. You know, there's a lot of people that think the church and the landscape has changed. Yes, it has. But it's not for the worse. It's for the better. We have seen a multitude of things. And today we're going to go across to Lighthouse Community and celebrate with Dr. Karen Odakra, who is leaving to go to Midwest Ministries. So just be in prayer for her. And prayer for Western PA, because she's taking on a new ministry role. So I'm thankful for what God is doing. What else is going on in the life of the church? Well, we've taken July and August off for Bible study, but if you watched the website, I was on Wednesday night laughing at my own self. If you remember the story, how many of you remember I forgot my deodorant going down to class? So I was laughing, but we were talking a little bit about passion and the following. So Wednesday night, we're going to share from 1 Thessalonians. We're going to talk about what it means to live a life worthy of the calling. But I'll be sharing a little bit from Dr. Moss's book and just enjoying the time. I think Wednesday night, I spent about 35 minutes, had a little music, so I'm enjoying that time. I mentioned Reverend Dr. Karen Odakra, that's at Lighthouse Community today. We'll be there from 1 to 3
is what it is posted.
So we're going there, but we'll enjoy a time of celebration with her. What else? Malu, Saturday, August the 24th, if you're interested, that information's up there. Women of Wisdom, Priscilla Schreier, great speaker. I don't think you would be disappointed if you wanted to go. The tickets are up there. Metropolitan is on Schaefer Road in Detroit. It's off of I-96 heading west, but had a great time you'll have there. What else? BethanyChurchOfGod.org. We are blessed at what God is doing. Website continues to bless us. Jim is doing a great job, and so we're grateful for that. We're going to be in a little bit today talking about 2 Samuel, so I hope you're ready. Interesting story to celebrate with you. It's in the bulletins, but we're going to look at 2 Samuel chapter 6 and a little bit about what was going on with David. But until that time, I want to keep in prayer. Many of you don't know, Suzanne posted this week that she has developed another tumor on the left side of her brain. She posted this week that she goes for a masking, I think the first part of this week, and then the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, or 23rd, 24th, 25th, she has some radiation work. So please keep Louie and Suzanne in our prayers. There are many that are away we want to keep in prayer, but specifically pray for her and Charlotte as she's shut in. Deborah, who is away. Gary has some surgery coming up. I've got some coming up, and multitude of needs. It's good to see a face back with us. We missed you. Hope your family is well, and we're glad that you're back safe with us. I'm sure your husband is happy. Stanley's rejoicing his wife is back home. But we're going to celebrate and worship the Lord today.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. This is my story.
Praising my Savior. Thank you. Father, as we have gathered in your name, all the earth will shout your praise. Great are you, Lord. Father, even around us, God, there's a lot of things going on. Our minds are flooded with the violence, the things that have taken place, the political realm, and the world around us. There seems to be every day, God, chaos, violence, and shootings, and things that will trouble us, cause our minds to be concerned. And yet, God, we know, great are you, Lord. Father, we know that you're with us, you're leading us and guiding us, and we not only pray for the people of our church, we pray for your spirit, God. We pray for your rest. We pray for peace. God, we know that you're still moving. We know that you're still active. And we know that you are a God of all gods and a King of all kings. Sometimes, God, we just don't know what to pray. And we are troubled, and yet, God, you give us peace. Father, even when the phone doesn't work and we can't find our friends or we lose track of things, we trust you, God, in all ways. And Father, we ask for a peace in our country, a peace in our world, a peace that passes all understanding, a peace that will guard our hearts, a peace that will guide us as a people. Father, even as I've passed 41 years, I've looked over the landscape of the years and recognized the working of your hand. I see, God, you're moving in my life, in my family. I see you're moving in the church. I see you're moving in the country around us. And things change, and yet, God, you're still the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. And when we trust you, God, no matter what comes to pass, you are still with us and you are still God. And I pray today, God, that you'll remind us of your presence. Remind us of your grace. Remind us of your love. And remind us that you, God, no matter what happens, will still reach out to your people. You're the still small hand calling us in the stillness. You are still the God calling us in the midst of the storm. From the mountain, from the valley, you are still with us. God, I pray that today, as you remind us, let us know that this is your day, God. Let us know that you're here in this place. Father, I pray for the needs of this church. I continue to lift up Suzanne, God. Father, I pray that you'll touch her body, that you'll lead the doctors, lead the nurses, lead those who are providing the care, but touch her and Louie today. God, as she is home now, I pray that you'll guard and guide her. I continue to ask for your anointing upon her life. God, we don't like to think about cancer and tumors and sickness. They're real today, God, and we need you. A reminder, we need your healing touch. Continue to pray for Charlotte as she's home. God, I pray for Deborah, who is away. I pray for our friends in Kenya. I pray, God, that you'll bless the church and bless our families. And I pray, God, that we need, oh, Father, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We need a church that is uniform and together and leading the charge forward. Father, we need a people standing on the solid rock, a people destined, no matter what, to call out on the name of the Lord. A people who are persistent. A people who are, Father, leading the charge. That no matter what, Father, we'll be persistent, we'll be consistent. And Father, we'll put together plans that are solid. Father, calling on the name of the Lord. Touching those around us. God, we want to thank you for what you're able to do. Father, we're thanking you for what you will do and what you're going to do. And thanking you that you're leading Dr. Karen into Western PA, because they're going to be stronger, Father. And we're going to be stronger as a result of this unified church. Father, continue to bless our sister churches around us. Bless the Father, the calling on the name of the Lord. Father, give us breath in our lungs to call out on the name of the Lord. Oh, Father, have your way in our church today. Have your way in the politics around us. Have your way. Father, continue to heal. Even as a family this morning mourns the loss of a son. God, I don't understand what took place and why. But Father, I pray that you'll bring unity and peace. Father, in the church today, continue to bless the body, bless the church. And we want to thank you and praise you for what you will do and what you're going to do. For this we pray, in the power of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ. To you be glory and honor now and forever and ever. For this we pray in your holy name. Amen. Amen. I'm grateful for being able to listen to the message last week and the power of Sheila's message that she brought to you, and thankful that she was able to be with you folks and to share the Word of God. And it's good that we can go back and listen and I can be a part of it and witness what's going on. Have you ever had a special celebration in your life and you're planning some party? Wanted to throw this, and you had all these ideas and great plans, and somebody wanted to throw water onto your fire. Somebody just didn't think it was the right idea, didn't like what you were doing, didn't like the food that you were preparing, didn't like the celebration, and just thought, you know, this is really a bad idea. I remember a number of years ago, I wanted to get married. And, you know, young man, I had to go through the process. I remember talking to Mom, and I had asked this girl to be my wife. And there was another process. I had to go ask her dad. Wow, was that a hurdle. And Dad's favorite words were, "I don't want to throw water on your fire, boy. But what are you going to do about this?" "Well, Dad, I'm going to do this." "Well, what are you going to do about this? Where are you going to work at? Where are you going to live at? How are you going to support this girl?" "I don't want to," and Dad would always say, "I don't want to throw water on your fire. I don't want to quench your plans," but he didn't know about a guy like me. I wasn't yielding to the questions or the water on the fire. I said, "Well, you can go ahead and throw it on there all you want. But I got the answers." "Oh, you do, huh? Well, let me hear them." He didn't know how determined I was, the passion and purpose I had in life. But you know, sometimes there are just those people, aren't they? No matter what you set out to do, there's always going to be somebody in the back going, "Not a good idea." But after 41 years, I still recognize the call of God on my life. I still recognize the joy, and I still recognize the enemy is a roaring lion, roaming, seeking who he may destroy, and wants to douse water onto our fire. He wants havoc and calamity. That's why I titled this message. Go ahead and pull it up, John. "Where there is joy, there will be noise." You ever encountered that in your life? Where you're having all kinds of joy and you're just, God is really blessing you, and you can sense God is just pouring out His Spirit and things are really going well, and you're just like waiting for the hammer to drop. You're just waiting for something to bring calamity, someone to just bring the negativity in your life. Imagine how David felt in this message. We're going to kind of take a look at 2 Samuel. Imagine how David felt going to see just exactly what took place. And where there is joy, there will be noise. And what will we do? So, if you will, stand with me as we read 2 Samuel chapter 1, or chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, and then verses 12 through 19. And it's on page 479 of your large print Bibles. I'll drink to that. But we'll begin with verse 1. David brought together all the able young men of Israel, 30,000. He and all his men went to Baalah in Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord Almighty, who is enthroned between the cherubim on the Ark. They set out. They set the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahio, son of Abinadab, were guiding the new cart with the Ark of God on it, and Ahio was walking in front of it. David and all of Israel were celebrating with all their might before the Lord with castanets, harps, lyres, timbrels, sistrums, and cymbals. Moving on to verse 12. Now King David was told, the Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the Ark of God. So David went to bring up the Ark of God out of the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. When those who were carrying the Ark of the Lord had taken six steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. Wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all of his might, while he and all Israel were bringing up the Ark of the Lord with the shouts and sounds of trumpets. As the Ark of the Lord entered the city of David, David was entering the city of David. Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. They brought the Ark of the Lord and set it in a place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before the Lord. After he had finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. And he gave a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, a cake of raisins to each person in the whole crowd of Israel, both men and women. And all the people went to their homes. May God add a blessing. You may be seated. Not no surprise. David is rejoicing. The Ark of the Lord was with him, and David began to move the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Lord, into the place. I'm reminded of my favorite archaeologist, Dr. Henry Jones, in the Raiders of the Lost Ark. This imagination in the story, I've always with joy watched as they searched for the Ark of the Covenant and the climactic end of his arch rival, Balak, befitted with the priestly garments like in Exodus 28, opens the Ark of the Covenant while Indiana is tied to the post with his lovely girl. And he says, don't look! Don't look! As Balak opens the Ark of the Covenant and the Spirit of God supposedly moves around and just swoops up everybody and drops it back into the Ark and closes the lid. This week provides a fine opportunity to talk about the Ark of the Covenant David brings to Jerusalem in that dynamic portrait. So I begin with this idea. Where there is joy, there is noise. And we see Michal, who is David's wife. She's not very happy with David and what David's doing. I think maybe it's related to Saul, but we'll see in the scriptures. We don't really know exactly, but we're left to guess the relationship there. But I have to ask you this morning, what happens when God is in the house? Ooh. Big question for the people of God. We come to church on Sunday mornings. Sometimes we do, sometimes not. Sometimes we watch. What happens when God is in the house? Nothing? Do we leave out of here the same as we came in? What happens in the presence of God? We get a symbolism here in 2 Samuel chapter 6. The Ark of the Covenant signaled God's presence and promise with him. The objects, the ears, the eyes, God's presence, the story, the determination of the congregation. We hear the story of dancing and David's signaling and the celebration, and God was in the house. Maybe I need to say that a different way. God is in the house. What happens when God is in the house? See, we talk about it. We believe in the Christian. We believe in the things that God is able to do. But when God is in the house, what happens? Our spiritual traditions talk about a dynamic awareness in our ordinary life. God incarnate, his presence, in nanoseconds, noticing the shaft of light, the tiny hand reaching for ours, the dignity that we see, God's presence, the proclamation of the Word, Emmanuel, God is with us, the contemplating of traditions, the story, the mindfulness, the power of the Holy Spirit, and have to be careful because I sometimes want to be like David. I sometimes get excited because when we recognize, folks, the traditions of old and we recognize the power, we're not just inaugurating a new era, we're recognizing the power of God's presence, and he is just not in this place. He lives and dwells in us. And it's easy for me to get overwhelmed and excited at the power of God and what God is able to do. And I look over 41 years and I recognize I could not be here today if it were not for the power of God displaying his hand in my life, in my family, and the traditions. I couldn't have come this far without the power of God to recognize that he is awesome, he is able, he is willing, he is holy, he is God, and God is in the house. And when God is in the house, people should be prepared, for God is able to do all kinds of things. He is able to heal. He's able to restore. He's able to do, lift up the downtrodden. He's able to bring you out of the valley and set you on the mountain. He's able to display his presence in your life. He is able to change us. He's able to restore us. He's able to heal us. He's able to bring resurrection power. When God is in the house, this house changes. It doesn't look the same. It doesn't feel the same. It should never be commonplace. What happens when God is in your house? Does he paint a wonderful picture? Do we see the power of the Holy Spirit when the ark is opened and the power of God moves around and engulfs the people of God? They knew that God was in the house. When the ark traveled, God was there. And I must say, I'm afraid it's become all too commonplace for us. We come into the house, we sing a few songs, we celebrate in the spoken word, we break the bread, fellowship, we talk about the Holy Spirit, the love of people, the God of heaven. We sing our closing song. We say our closing prayer. We go break bread in the back. We chat a few seconds. We walk out the door. We go on about our daily lives. Maybe, just maybe, just maybe, there's more in it than what I just said. What happens when God is in the house? Does he break through the music? Oh, yeah, I didn't like that song this morning. Pastor was too loud today. I didn't like that word that he shared with us. I didn't like how he presented it. I wish he'd just sit down and be calm and quiet and share the word. I don't like it. Sister Mary over there raised her hands. I don't like that, you know. We have a lot of things. But David brought the Ark of God into the city of God. They were wholly aware God was in the house. They were wholly aware of what God was able to do. They rejoiced. They played the lyres and the harps and the tambourines and the cymbals. And David broke open the fatted calf. There was festive joy in the house. I can only imagine. You know, why do we have to wait till heaven? Why do we have to talk about when we get to heaven, they'll be rejoicing? When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Maybe I'm wrong. But we talk about what it's going to be like when we get to heaven. We're going to sing and shout, and God is the light, and God is rejoicing, and the people of God will be together, and the saints of old, thousands if not thousands of people have gone home to be with the Lord, and they are rejoicing in heaven. Why does it have to be heaven? Why can't it be here? Why can't we forget about ourselves and focus on Him and rejoice because God is in the house? Then I have to ask you, just the presence of the Lord brought blessings. David took the ark, Obed-Edom's house. Obed-Edom didn't have to do anything. Just the mere presence of God in the house. Now, if you listen to Wednesday night, what were we talking about Wednesday night? Taking God with us. Where do we go? Have we left the house and God isn't there? Do we take God with us? I made a joke. We forget stuff, right? I laughed about forgetting my deodorant and having to borrow my wife's. I smelt like different. I laughed about the fact that I forget to close the garage door. We pack our bags to go on vacation and go someplace, and we get there and we think, how did I forget that? How did I forget a comb to comb my hair? Come on, how did I forget my toothbrush? Oh, I got the toothbrush, but I left my toothpaste at home. How do we do that? Come on, let's be essential. We forget stuff, but do we forget God with us? And here Obed-Edom had God's presence, and what did it say happened to him? It said, while the ark was there, God poured out His Spirit on him. David expected the same blessing that Obed-Edom had, and he says, well, if God's going to pour out His Spirit on him just by having the ark there, I'm taking it back. And what we notice is an outpouring of God upon the people of God that day. And just the presence of the Lord brings blessings. We are told, people, who's in this house? If God is in this house, and God lives and reigns in us, that's the truth of the Scriptures, is it not? It said that when we gather together as people of God, God is there. It said where two or three are gathered in His name, He is there. Do we really believe that? Yeah? Okay. If God is really in this place, and God really lives and reigns in us, then why don't we act like it? Am I telling the truth? Do we take God with us? Do we buckle Him up around our waist? The belt of righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt, the helmet, the feet shod with the gospel of preparation. Do we take God with us when we go out into the world around us? Do we recognize the power that where there is joy, there's going to be noise? And when you come into the house of God, there's always going to be somebody to go, no, no, don't like it, don't like it. He said here, what's the scripture tell us? If God is really in this place, just the presence of the Lord brings blessings. Are you ready for a blessing? If you are, then God said, I am here. I live and reign with you. I am in your presence. If we would just let it go, God says, I'm willing to pour out a blessing on you so much so that you cannot contain it. Jeremiah 29:11 said, I know the plans. I'm going to prosper you, not to harm you, give you a hope in the future. Romans 15:13 says, there's hope in his presence. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So if God brings blessings and there's hope and power in his presence, there's also love. Romans said, what will separate us from the love of God? Well, if God is here, then I'm convinced that neither death or life, angels or demons, things in the future, things, powers, heights or depths, what can separate us from the love of God? If there is nothing, then we have the love of God, and the presence of God brings love. Well, if there's love, then there must be joy. Psalm 16:11 said, I'll make known to you the path of life, and I will fill you with joy in his presence, with eternal pleasures. If God is here, there's got to be joy. I want it so much when we were singing, there's joy in the house of the Lord. Yeah! And I was afraid everybody would be like, what are you doing? Because why not? We shout out your praise. Yeah! Come on, how many of you have ever been driving down the road and you got a song on the radio that you just love and you're like, oh yeah! You're rejoicing down the street and people are looking at you like, what in the world is going on? And I want to be that guy. I want to be rejoicing down the road, just going at it. Driving down and let people look at me like I'm crazy. And then they'll see Pastor Jim and they'll go, oh, God. But the truth of the matter is, we have joy. We got a lot of things going on. The world around us is jacked up. You want to find out? Go listen to your news. It's jacked up. But there's joy in God's presence. There's peace. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present all your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. Romans 8 says, the mind governed by the flesh is dead, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Isaiah 26, 3, you will keep in perfect peace those whose mind is steadfast on you because they trust in you. He said also there's protection in his presence. But the faithful, Lord is faithful. He'll strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do all these things. Isaiah 54, no weapon forged against you will prevail. And you will refute every tongue that accuses you. The heritage of the saints and vindication from me declares the Lord. We not only know that in the presence of God, he brings blessings. There's comfort. There's precision, provisions. There's possibilities. There's compassion. There's strength. There's power. There's mercy in the time of need. Grace and healing. Restoration. Forgiveness. Renewal. Just being in the presence of the Lord. God can do all kinds of things. But, I say that with emphasis, but there's a makkel in your life. Why are you going to that church? Why are you giving to those people? Why you even serve that Lord? What's God doing for you today? Look at the world around you. Makkel is David's wife, Saul's daughter. I don't know the relationship that David had, but it's said that David's plan completed the mission and took Michal as wife. I honestly don't know what David was thinking. She doesn't seem to be a very happy lady. She doesn't seem to like what David's doing. She doesn't seem to like where David's going and what David's doing in his life. She actually looked up from the window when David was rejoicing. And she despised David in his heart. Thinking, wow. Wow. Michal elaborates on her distaste for David's show. While he meant to show a solidity of his lord and kingship, she tries to expose him. She rebukes David. While he intended to display his praise in response to God, he claims what God is able to do, and she just doesn't like it. We never are told why, but from all indications, Michal never has any children. They continue to stay as husband and wife, and I can only imagine that. There's multitude of exegetical conversations that David and Michal will have throughout their life. And I can only imagine that the challenge that David has in moving forward as king is probably compromised. This leaves me wondering, do we have a Michal in our life? Many of the details seem foreign to us. In a postmodern world, we want to go back to the way the church used to be. We want to go back to the way things used to be, but they're not. And there's so many that talk about postmodernism and all of the text and where we exist and where the church is going and how the church is, and that the church is not going to exist and the church no longer is a viable entity and it's not relational, it's not real for the current day, the church doesn't need to exist, and we build structures instead of sanctuaries, we build multi-purpose rooms, and we are doing, and I even asked Beth, I said, I just don't understand. And I said, I'm not trying to make sense of it. We were watching a program this past week, and it just floors me that we deal with people, and I watch. Some of our larger churches continue to grow larger, and God bless them. I'm happy for them. But the same word that they're delivering, I look back and think, well, am I delivering anything different? Am I not preaching it the same way? Are we not singing the same song? And I struggle as a pastor. I'm just going to be honest and real with you. If God is really in this house, how do we handle the Michals in our life? How do we have new people who come into the church? And I do what I can. I send notes. I send letters. We follow up. I try to reach out to them and ask them how they like the service and different things, and they don't come back. They just don't. Many of you are faithful, but I have to be honest. There's the Michals in my life going, well, they would say to me, why don't you just quit, Pastor? Why don't you just fold the doors and close the door and stop? Come on. You're with me, people. There are people who will say that to you. And they'll try to get you to believe you. Well, yeah, well, you only carry 17, 18 people in church on a Sunday, maybe 20. And occasionally, if you really stretch it, you'll get 25 or 30. What happened to the church? Well, it's not viable anymore. Ah, you should just close the doors in that church. You're not going to make it. And honestly, I'm going to be real with you. And that sometimes there's some Michals in your life when you're preparing a sermon. You wonder, well, who's going to show up for church today? Do I deliver the same message? Somebody asked me the question. They said, well, if there's only 4 or 5 people in church, what do you do? Deliver the same message. I'm not going to stop delivering the Word of God. I don't care if there's 1 or if there's 500. I don't care if there's 5,000. The message isn't going to change. And you either like me the way I am after 40 years, or you don't like me. You either like the way I dress, or you don't like the way I dress. You either like my loud voice, or you don't like my loud voice. I am who I am. And I am called by God, and this is the way I see it, and this is the way I'm going to continue to do it until God sends me somewhere else. The power is not in who I am. The power is in who I follow. And it isn't about me. If the Word of God is true, and it's stronger and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it pierces and divides, there's going to be Michals in your life. Don't stop trusting God because of me. Keep trusting God because He is God. And we have to get away from the McHales in our life. There's always going to be somebody who goes, "Yeah, I don't like your God." Well, okay, you don't have to serve my God. I will. But it's funny. It's really funny that in the real time of need, guess who they call on? "I need your God." Well, oh, that's funny. You need Him now. And I just am who I am. I'm coming up. December will be close to 39 years. Wow. Of ordination. Can't believe it. I've looked over the years and I've tried to discern what can I do different, what can I see different. I'm studying to bring you the best of what God has. But the truth of the matter is there's always going to be McHales in your life. Even when I started out on my doctorate, I said, "What are you doing that for?" My own family said, "Dad, you're a little too old for that, aren't you?" "No." "Are you sure you know what you're doing, Dad?" Of course, then they think I'm not thinking very clearly. I'm getting old or something's going on. I am getting older. But the truth of the matter is, does God stop investing in your life because you get older? Does God stop ceasing to be God when you get older? Does God stop ceasing? I was laughing. I mean, if you want me to put on this fancy new uniform and try to look younger and impress you, I will. But my point is there's always going to be a McHale in your life. So I ask you, finally, don't let the noise take away the joy. See, there's always going to be noise. The last part of this equation was after all the celebrations of joy, David stayed focused on what God was doing then, and he blessed all the people, and they went home. Now, Scripture doesn't tell us what happened when they went home, but if you read the Scripture in this passage, when David was all done, he returned home to bless his household. Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, "King, how have you distinguished yourself today, going around half naked in full view of the slave girls of a servant, a vulgar fellow would be?" Basically, do you see how ridiculous you look today? Do you see how the people of God viewed you today? David said, "It was before the Lord who chose me to do this calling." Basically, she's saying, "Look at you. You made a shambles of yourself. You lost all respect. You're out there worshiping God. You're dancing around like a hooligan. And this is what you call your God?" You know, sometimes we got to get our eyes focused on God. When God calls us to an unabashed love, David blessed. And even though he went home to a McHale, don't let those kinds of people take away your joy. There'll always be noise, but there's always a God. Where there is joy, there will be noise. I bring to you this unusual story. But God's in this house. And as long as God is in this house, and as long as God is still leading my life, every breath that I have, every word and everything that I do, I will trust Him. I love the passage in Joshua, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And I believe that as long as I live and as long as I can breathe, I will trust God and let His joy fill my life. Yeah, you might think it's about 2 dozen cups of coffee a day that keeps me joyful. You know, I can still drink the coffee and go to sleep at night. So it isn't the coffee that gives me joy. It's a God who I serve, folks. I don't need artificial incentives to get me joy in God's house. I don't need what the world wants to offer. I don't need what they offer in a cup or a bottle. I don't care whether it comes in a pipe or anything else. I only need God. And there are times when I think about what God is able to do, and I know what God has done over my life, and I'm going to continue to worship Him as long as I have breath. And if I get old and I can't move, it's going to be hard. But I'm going to do what I can to give God every ounce of my life, all day long, every day. Doesn't matter to me what happens at Ford or around the world around me. I'm not going to stop letting God be God in my life. And I pray that You'll do the same. Father, there'll always be those, God. There'll always be the noise around us. But one thing is certain, God, we have a God who is louder than the noise. And I pray today, God, that You are in this house, that You live and reign in us, that, Father, we can have joy in the house of God. I pray, God, that You will bless us today and the remainder of the time we spend. We'll give You thanks and praise. In Your holy name I ask it. Amen. You know what? I'm going to twist you just a little bit, Caroline. I don't want that song in closing.
Okay.
Go back. You know what one I want, don't you, John? I know you do. I talked about it. What's in the house today?
Joy.
Huh? Joy in the house. Let's rev it up. Mountains and the hills will rejoice. They'll break forth before You because there's joy in the house of the Lord today. Father, we are joyful in Your presence. We're thankful, God, for what You have done. Now, God, we pray that You would flood Your joy in our life and bless Your people today. We'll thank You and praise You in Your holy and powerful and joyful name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have an awesome day.
spinning ball and they all mean the world to you. It's time like these that I